Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Can I get me one or two people just say Jesus? It is something when we take the name of Jesus and realize that anything wonderful can happen when we call upon the name of Jesus. It's something about when we take the name of Jesus and saturate it in this place. It's something how that name is power in that name. It's deliverance in that name. It's salvation in that name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's at the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's just bless the Lord right now for a moment. Let's just thank him for the mercies that he's shown us. Hallelujah. In this day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I appreciate the spirit of the Lord that's in this place. Thank you, praise and worship team, for inviting us into your worship experience. Because truly is just something about the name of Jesus. The Bible says that demons tremble. Hallelujah. At the sound of the name. Just the sound of the name. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I would like for you to please turn with me in your Bibles to Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 35, and also Mark, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 8. And if you allow me, please, I want to go in the vein that I feel leading in right now, because this word of God that I believe that we receive today can revolutionize and change the way we think about Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, and if you would be so kind to look at Mark 4, verse 35, and then Mark 5, 1 through 8, and then I'll go back and look in depth in the 4th chapter. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're still looking, say, wait on me. Even though there's no wait on me, I hear leaves turning. So we're going to wait. But as Mark began to write in the 4th chapter, verse 35, it says, in the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, meaning Jesus, let us pass over to the other side. And then Mark, the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 8, is the continuation of that. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. That means that's where he dwell, that's where he lived at. And no man could bind him, listen to this, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus, somebody said, but when he saw Jesus, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, meaning Jesus, come out of that man, thou unclean spirit. Father, we bless you and we thank you again for your goodness and your mercy, for the gathering here today and all that's been done up until this point. Now, God, we've been fed, Lord, physically. But now, Lord, let us receive your spiritual food. And God, again, let us eat the whole roll. Now, Lord, once again, your servant desperately needs your anointing, because it's through your anointing that yokes, fetters, and chains will be broken. And Lord, when everything is said and done, if there's any in the house or any that are on streaming right now that have never repented of their sins nor been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, let this be that day. And God, let them be filled full to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. And when all these things are said and done, we'll remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let everyone say, in Jesus' name. Now, before you're seated, I just want to ask you to look at one verse. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. In your hearing, I'd like to leave this thought. Jesus on assignment. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is still on assignment. God bless you. You may be seated. Jesus on assignment. Now, when we think of the word assignment, it's the act of performing a task or duty. It's a task to which one has been appointed. He's not only been appointed in this one, he's been anointed. Hallelujah. And so as we begin to look at this, it would behoove us to go back and do the background on the fourth chapter of Mark. And I just looked at one verse, and that was verse number 35. But technically, you need to kind of understand what was going on when Jesus said that. He had just finished in the earlier part. He had ministered all day long. He had just given parables. He had poured himself into the people that were there. And now it was time for them to go to the other side. So we find him says that same day, the very day he had just ministered to all of these people, he said, when the evening was come, can you imagine standing up ministering or even sitting down in a boat ministering to people all day long, the sun beaming down on you? And now he says, it's evening, so come, let us pass over to the other side. Now, when they turned the multitudes away, they got in the ship, and there arose a great storm. I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe it's you here live and in living color in person, or maybe it's those that are streaming. But somebody right now is dealing with a storm. There's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this way. Bruh, sis, if you're not rooted and grounded, steadfast, anchored in Jesus, you're going to surely drift away. This storm was coming, and it was a great storm with wind, and it beat upon the ship until the ship was full. My God, can you imagine? You're in a ship, and it's going down. And the Bible said that Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, laying on a pillow, sleeping. Now, it seemed like they would have gotten an epiphany, a revelation, that if Jesus is not worried about it, why should I? But he's there and he's sleeping, and they come to him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus gets up. The Bible says he rebukes the wind and told to the sea, peace, be still. I'm telling somebody right now, in your life, you better speak to the storm. You better tell that storm you won't last. Because the one that brought me out is aboard. Peace be still. And then the Bible said, then there was a calm. Somebody needs a calm in their life. Your life is right now. It is turmoil. It is tore up from the floor up. But I'm speaking to you now. Peace. Be still. There came a great calm. And then he said to them, why are you fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? No faith? Many of you have been walking with the Lord for a long, long time. And at this juncture, you still have no faith to believe that he can bring you through this. If he brought you to it, he can bring you through it. Anybody believe that? And then all of a sudden in them, a fear rose up within them, and they said, wow, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey? Now that brings me to where we're looking at our verse. Before we get to the fifth chapter, let me just put it this way. How many of you know that as we look back at this fourth chapter of Mark, leading into our text, it's apparent that the disciples weren't aware that no matter how bad things looked, somebody say, things are looking pretty bad now. No matter how things appear, it's apparent. The disciples, they were not aware that no matter what all of this stuff that was going on, the sea raging, the water pouring into the ship, even the threat of this storm could mean the end of their life. But that wasn't going to happen. Somebody say, why? I'm glad you asked. Because Jesus was on assignment. Therefore, that meant that they had to reach the other side. Somebody said they got to reach it. Because there was a divine appointment awaiting Jesus on the other side. Now, that's where we get into the fifth chapter. And we see why it was of a necessity in this one case. And it came to pass over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately, somebody say immediately. Immediately. Things immediately happen when Jesus is on assignment. Immediately there met him a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And I said that once, but I'll reiterate. He lived in the tombs, y'all. He lived in a place where dead folks were. I want to speak to somebody right now. Why are you living among the dead when you have life and more abundantly in you? He lived among the tombs, and no man could bind him. Listen to this. No, not with chains. I thought that was something, not even with chains. But then verse 4 says, because they had been often bound him with fetters and chains. Now, fetters are the anklets and the bracelets that they put on him. Now, listen to what happens. He would pluck asunder the chains like it wasn't nothing. And the fetters he would break in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. It's something about when you deal with people that have mental issues. They are incredibly strong. I don't know if you've seen sometimes police footage of they've been called on a scene, and when they get there, they weren't aware that the person had mental issues. And sometimes in those clips, you will see two and three and four police trying to restrain them. it's almost that they have this superpower, this demonic power, that they could throw them off. Well, this man had that kind of demonic power. But I want you to listen. It says that he, while he was in the mountains and in the tombs, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, I am not saying that mental illness is technically meaning somebody has a demon in them, but I'm telling you, it makes them act in an aberrant behavior, one that most people in society will consider strange. Verse number 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, my God, when he saw Jesus afar off, watch what he does. He runs and he falls down and he worships him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee. That means I earnestly plead with you. I earnestly ask of you. I earnestly request of you by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of that man, thou unclean spirit. Now, I said our text is showing us how Jesus is on an assignment. If you continue to follow this, Jesus talks to this man and he asked him, what's your name? He said, my name is Legion, because there are many. And you know the account, most of you Bible scholars. The demons were pleading with him, whatever you do, don't just cast us out into the city. And they looked and they saw a herd of pigs, swines. And they said, let us go into them. And so what happened was, Jesus cast them out. And they went into the herd of swines. Now, this is what got me. It said there were 2,000. 2,000. Went into the pigs or the swines, and they went into the water and drowned. The people were so astonished. They were in awe of what just transpired. Matter of fact, the Bible said that they prayed, Jesus, please, whatever you do, can you just keep it moving? Get out of our country. Get out of our land. And what really got the people is when they went by and they saw the man that was once possessed with the demons or the unclean spirit sitting. And the scripture says, clothed and in his sound mind. Clothed means they went around naked. He went around the mountaintops naked. But the next time they see him, he's sitting down, he's clothed, and he's in his sound mind. Jesus and them are about to get into the ship. He says, please, whatever you do, can I go with you? He says, no. And there are many speculations why he didn't allow him to go with them. One is that he wanted him to stand there and be a witness to what the power of God can do. See, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. If he did it for you, he can do it for you and you and you. And that's one speculation. And the other is because this man had been without his family for so long. Jesus said, I want them to enjoy you now in a sound mind and clothed. But Jesus says, no, you stay here. The next thing we find out that the man now begins to go and he begins to spread the news of what Jesus had done. If you follow the account, remember I said Jesus on assignment, and we can look in many other places in the Bible, but you don't have to go any further for right now than Mark, because what happens in Mark, the 5th chapter, after this happens, the Bible says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men marveled, and they all marveled. Verse 21 says, and when Jesus was passed over again, Somebody said he's doing it again. He's on assignment. And when he was doing it again by ship unto the other side, somebody say he's now is going back to the other side. When he gets to the other side, he's greeted by crowds of people by the sea. And behold, there cometh the ruler. His name is Jairus. Jairus is coming to Jesus and he says, listen, my daughter is at the point of death. Could you please come and lay your hand on her? And I know she will be healed. So Jesus begins to go and turn to go with him. Now, just because Jesus is on one assignment doesn't mean he can't go on another assignment. But while he's on his way to the next assignment, the Bible said there was a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. And as she's about to do something criminal, somebody say she's about to do something criminal. I'll tell you why I said that. Because she had an issue of blood. And in the Levitical law, you had to separate yourself for 7 days. And this is the normal cycle for women. But once that time's come and you still hadn't cleared up, then you had to be in separation. You had to get away from your family. It's just you. So this lady is coming, and the Bible says that because of the Levitical law, she had to stay in her space, in her area, and not be around anybody, because the moment she would touch you, you would become, hey, Jesus, you would become unclean. Now, just get that in your spirit. So now, she comes, and she is about to do something. I said, become criminal. She's breaking the Levitical law. Mm-hmm. Because she hears about Jesus, and she says in her mind, if I could just but, in one place it says, touch the hem of his garment. In this passage it says, touch his clothes. See, I like the one where it says, touch the hem of his garment, because that means she had to get down low. Now, that means she had to come and humble and just try to press her way through a crowd. Do you know the stampede would have taken place if somebody would have said, somebody unclean here, because that meant they would have to go. So she broke the Levitical law. She's coming up, creeping behind Jesus, and her mind said, now, if I just touch him, I know I'll be made whole. See, the Bible said that this lady had spent all of her money trying to get healings. Let me say to some of you, watch out for charlatans. Watch out for people that says, send me this, and I'll send you this cloth. And or I'm going to send you this little bottle, and all you do is anoint yourself. Let me show y'all something. Y'all see us use this. If you, those that live stream, when you see those people come up, we anoint them with oil because it's a scriptural mandate. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. But guess what? We can go right now to Food Lion, any of these stores, and get this oil. And so think about that next time you pay that what? Whatever they're asking for that little bottle of oil you put in. They went and got it at Walmart. All right, let me get back. So she is made up in her mind, I'm going to break the Levitical law. I'm going to touch this man. I don't care what they say, because I know the moment I touch him, I'm going to be healed. And the Bible says, so she went behind Jesus and she touched him. Jesus turns to the disciples and says, who touched me? The disciples, they kind of look at him. Probably they didn't want to say it like this, but man, you see all these folk? And you asking us, who touched you? People bumping up against one another. They're thronging him. That's what the Bible said. But Jesus asked a legitimate question. Who touched me? See, he wasn't talking about the physical touch. Somebody right here, right on Facebook, right on YouTube, you need to be touched by God. And when you are touched by him, it's evident. She said that if I could just touch his garment, I know I will be made whole. Now she gets to the point she doesn't. Jesus understands what has transpired. So he says, who touched me? They said, Master, all of these people? And you said, who touched you? Jesus was saying, no. I know somebody touched me because virtue left my body. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I know I got power inside of me. And some of it left me and went to her. He didn't know who it was. The Bible said the lady was trembling. And he said, who touched me? Because she knew what had happened. She knew the moment that it happened, the Bible said that it was dried up. The blood that had flowed for 12 years dried up. So she comes to him and she says, it was me. It was me. He said, woman, go thy way. Thy faith have made thee whole. I'm telling you, Jesus was on an assignment. Maybe Jerry said, oh, now wait a minute, Lord, you're on assignment, but you're supposed to be coming to heal my daughter. Well, the next thing happens is the servants of Jerry comes and says, why trouble the master any longer? Your daughter is dead. How many know Jesus hears that? How many of you know that Jesus hears when the doctor says, Mr. Haynes, I'm sorry, but this is the prognosis. This is what is going to happen. In so many months, that's all you have. Don't y'all know Jesus hears that? But see, when you're a child of God, what you do is you say to the doctor, thank you for your diagnosis and your prognosis. And then you go to the one that's able to do something about it. You say, now, Lord, this is what he said. He said, I got this long to live. But Lord, what do you say? The Bible says, by his stripes, we are
healed.
So we find now Jairus is down, but the Lord said, be not afraid, only believe. Take me to the crib, Jairus. So they go walking. When they get there, they hear people wailing and moaning and crying. See, back in biblical days, they had professional mourners, people that did it for a living. I don't know. There's some people, they like going to funerals. I have no idea why. They'll go to everybody's funeral. They'll look in the paper and see who, and go to that funeral. Oh, y'all think I'm playing? They had professional mourners back then. You paid them, they'd cry some tears, a river of tears. Oh, why did they have to do it? Why did God? No, not her. So Jesus comes to the house, and he hears and he says, what are you crying for? The maiden is just asleep. Then the Bible said they laughed him to scorn. I'm going to tell you what Jesus does for people that have the spirit of negativity. He dismisses them. He immediately dismissed them and only got a few of them. The parents of that child and some of the disciples. And come on. How many of y'all believe in the power of touching and agreeing? Whatsoever we believe and touch and agree on, if we have faith, it'll happen. He gets them, they pray, and all of a sudden, the Bible says, the damsel, the little girl, she was 12 years of age, she rises up. Jesus said, now, get her something to eat. She hungry. You see, when Jesus is on assignment, things happen. Somebody say, things happen. And because he was on an assignment, nothing was going to deter him from his mission. We find that the man with the unclean spirit is now clothed and in a sound mind. We find that the lady that had the issue of blood for 12 years is now healed. We find that Jairus' request for his daughter, for Jesus to come and lay his hands on him, that she would be recovered and healed, it's done. And I'm saying to somebody today, Jesus said these words, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." That's the assignment. Jesus came to save those that are lost. He's coming to seek and to save. The question on the floor is, as a disciple of Christ, are you striving to bring people to Christ? Are you striving to introduce them to the one that's able to change their life? Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was, past tense, was lost. Because I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Because the assignment that he had, I received. Now, in my closing, let me tell you again, that Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus seeks and saves the lost because they are valuable to him. Anybody believe you're worth dying for? Well, I'll be truthful. I have reservations for myself. Why would you die for somebody like me? Why would you look at me as the apple of your eye when I've failed you so many times? Why would you die an excruciating death for somebody like me? Well, it's because you have value to him. He sees what you can be in Christ. I'm saying to somebody today, Jesus is still on assignment. Can I get you to stand? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin, you know what? It left a crimson stain. But he washed. Oh, thank you. He washed me whiter than snow. Amen. If you were here today, live and in living color, you have an opportunity to walk down to the altar. Those that are streaming live, you have an altar at your home. Wherever you're sitting watching this broadcast, you can bend down on your knees and begin to say, "Lord, don't pass me by. I need you in my life." God bless these that are coming down. And as these are coming down, I'm quite sure there's still somebody that's in your seat right there. You know where you are right now. You know if the Lord were to come back, if you're not born again like the Bible says, you know that you have a fate with eternity. Now, I want you to come. Just as you are, weary, worn, and broken. And I want you to know in him you can find a resting place. Because I said it once, and it's worth reiterating, Jesus is on an assignment. Now, as these are being anointed with oil, I want those that are still in your seats to please pray that God would move and God would minister to all of these that are at the altar at this point.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive. And with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise.